Thank you, choir. Sounded good having both the piano and organ today, too, didn't it? Thank the Lord. Kevin and Tan and them, they're out on a trip with some of the young people from Greenbrier Christian Academy, right, this weekend. And Ray and Joy Myers, some of you have been missing them. They're down in sunny Florida somewhere. And so anyway, that's the way it is. But you all are here, and we're glad to see you today. Well, guess what? We get to cover what we were going to cover last week. So this message is called Learning to Think His Way. We do have a responsive reading today, so if it'll be up here on the screen, but if you like to get it off of the insert, there is an insert with it. And let's all stand together in honor of God's Word. These readings here are from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, written by Paul to the Corinthian church. I'll read the light print, I'll ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that last verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You that You have thoughts, and we thank You that You have made the decision to share Your thoughts with us. And we thank You also that You have chosen also, after You have washed us, cleansed us, forgiven us, transformed us through the blood of Your Son, to place Your Holy Spirit in us so that we might be able to understand Your thoughts. And so today, Lord, as Your people, we know that it is Your desire that we would move more and more and more into Your thoughts and into Your plans and into Your purposes and less and less and less into our own. And that basically is what spiritual growth is all about. That we would not be content just to know the little basic fundamental things about salvation and coming to faith in Christ, but that we might also be able to understand other truths of Your Word. That we might know You better, that we might serve You better. And Lord, that You might be able to work through us in even greater ways and also experience greater daily fellowship with You and also struggle less in areas where we struggle when we do not yet have Your mind on a number of things. So Lord, we pray today that You will do that, that this is something we will want, that this is something that we will desire, knowing that we will not get there overnight, but that it is a direction in which You desire to carry each and every one of us if we are desirous of it and if we are willing to be led by You. Because those who are led by Your Spirit will be led into a deeper fellowship with You. Now, Lord, teach us, we pray, the truth of Your Word and teach us the ways that we may be able to actually implement it and incorporate it into our lives. And these things we ask today in the name that is above every name, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in His holy and wonderful name we pray. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. The thing that really got me thinking this way is that Old Testament passage, which we all know, I think most of us know quite well, and we've come across it and refer to it from time to time. And I have that printed at the top of the insert on the side where the notes are. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways My ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are My ways higher than your ways, and My thoughts than your thoughts. And we've talked about this many times, and we've talked about how that, you know, God sees things differently than we do. And therefore, in the process of Christian growth and all of that, what God is trying to do is bring us more to an understanding of what His will is in a matter and what He wants to see happen in a matter instead of what we want to see in a matter. And we understand the truth of this because we understand that a lot of times our own desires and our own ambitions and our own whatever points of view or prejudices or personality traits or whatever sometimes stand in the way of what God wants to do, or they stand in the way of really understanding. You know, it's just like sometimes do your children sometimes wonder why you think the way you do and why you want to do certain things, and they can't even understand it because they don't understand how mom and dad think, you know. Because you're thinking at a different level than what they're thinking. They're thinking about right now and here and today, and you're thinking about further down the road. And plus, you've seen some things and so forth. So it is true that often, even as believers, our thoughts are at odds with God's thoughts. But the point of the message today is, and based on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is that is not where God wants us to remain. That may be where we are today. It may be something that we lapse into from time to time, but that isn't God's will for His people. And when He says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways," declares the Lord, He's talking about Almighty, Holy God, all-knowing, that knows the past, present, and the future, and is perfect in every way, versus little finite man down here that has his own ideas about things and that isn't even living in communion with or in communication with God. And so He's talking even to a people at that time in the book of Isaiah that are living in open rebellion against Him, and they are not going His way. And so they always are jumping to the wrong conclusions. So whereas on the one hand, they would be saying, "Well, I don't see what's so wrong with us," God is saying to them, "You need to repent. And if you don't, eventually you're probably going to wind up captive in Babylon or something like that." But then when things really do fall apart and the nation falls apart and they begin to be carried captive to Babylon, they say, "Oh, all hope is lost. We're done in. It's all over." And He's saying, "No, you're not, because in 70 years, I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to restore you." So that's why it is that we're on these cycles, and a lot of times what we're thinking or planning or hoping or whatever may indeed be off cycle with what God is thinking or planning. But that is natural man. That's what I want to emphasize to you today. That is you and me and all of us. When we're acting in the natural, then we may find that very often our thoughts or goals or whatever are at odds with the Lord's way of thinking. But it doesn't have to be that way. And a lot of what becoming a Christian has to do with this, He changes us. He forgives our past and all of that. But He also, how many have read about the renewing of your mind? "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so He wants to renew our mind, and renewing our mind means that He wants to give us His mind, and He wants to get us over where we understand His way of thinking. And if your children live long enough, there may be a time where they actually cross back over and they say, "Now I understand Mom and Dad's way of thinking. In fact, I think that way myself now," you know. And that's what the Lord is in the process of doing. And so it is sad if we've been serving the Lord for 20 or 30 years and yet we still find ourselves, and I know we all lapse into it sometimes, but it shouldn't be a regular thing that we're lapsing into thought patterns or desires or things that are contrary to what God is thinking, because by that time He wants to teach us from His Word and He wants to bring us over into His way of thinking. It says in Isaiah 40 verse 13, which Paul quotes here in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, "Who has understood the mind of the Lord or instructed Him as His counselor?" So the Lord always has the right answers, and the Lord always knows what is best in every situation. And so in the process of getting into the Word of God and in the process of learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit, those are the two areas. Those are the two ways that we begin to come to an understanding of God's thoughts about a lot of things. There may be some issues in your life right now you're a little perplexed about, or in the life of somebody you know. And as you wait on God and as you go to the Word and as you also stay sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit, He will begin to teach you what His thoughts are on the matter. How many here as Christians would say, "I would like to know the Lord's thoughts on a lot of things"? And see, He's not keeping them a secret, is the point of today's message. He's not keeping them a secret. So if we don't know them, it's more because He can't get our attention, or it's more that he's trying to tell us and we don't like what we're hearing. So we're kind of shutting it out or whatever. But the Lord's desire is that we would know his mind. Now, let's look at this passage just a little bit where we've been here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And starting over there, you know, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians is a book where Paul addresses a lot of problems in the church. And he starts right out by telling them, you know, I hear that there are some divisions among you, and I partially believe it, you know. And then he talks about there in chapter 1 how that God has brought to naught the wisdom of this world. He talks about the fact that through the wisdom of this world, it is impossible for man to know God. And so that's why he says then at the beginning of chapter 2, he says, when I came to you, I came not with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power. So he said, I preached a very simple message, and that message is the power of the cross. That message was the power of the shed blood of Jesus, because right then, that was the only message that you needed. Right then, that is what you needed to hear, and that was the one thing that could break you free of the bondage that you were in. And folks, the folks in Corinth were in bondage to a lot of things, and he says, that's the one message. Right then, you didn't need to hear a whole bunch of wisdom and a whole bunch of stuff. Furthermore, man's wisdom is worthless, you know, and God has thrown it out. And so God has chosen just through the simplicity of a preached message to bring men and women to himself. But then when he gets in verse 6, he changes gears. He says, we do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the, what's that next word? What's that next word? The mature. So this is one where if you have it, you know, like the scripture reading that we did, I would tell you to circle that word because it's letting you know. He says, among those who are mature, not among the babes, not among those who just got saved the other day. You know, you don't normally talk physics in a kindergarten class, at least not at any very elevated level. You don't even talk that a lot of times in high school. You know, you talk that among people who have some understanding of it. He says, we do, however. Now, it's not this world's wisdom. It's the wisdom of God as revealed in the Holy Scriptures. And he says, when I'm among some mature people, then I get on some mature subjects. Isn't that true in the natural, mature people? When they're among mature people, they get on some mature subjects. But you don't talk about those things with your four-year-olds, because they're not able to handle them, and they're not able to understand them. So there's that word mature, which shows that God wants to bring us to maturity. And so we've all been babies at one time in our lives, but hopefully we're still not babies today, even though we may act like it sometimes. But the Lord wants to bring us to maturity. And so he says, when I'm with mature people, then I get on some mature spiritual topics. But it's not the wisdom of this age. No, 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 no. We speak of God's hidden or secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. Now he says, none of the rulers of this age understood it. It was right there in the scriptures all the time, but they missed it. They never saw it. They never understood it. And he says if they had, they would have never crucified the Lord of glory. However, he says, as it is written, and now he quotes the Old Testament, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. And then he says in verse 10, but God has completed action, has revealed it to us by his Spirit. So it's not a secret anymore. At one time it was a secret. At one time it was hidden. But for those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, those who are in tune with the Spirit of God and who have have dug a little deeper in the Word, they're finding new secret spiritual things every day. How many here can say to me, I'm in the Word of God, I'm reading the Word of God, I'm studying the Word of God, and I'm finding some new stuff most of the time? Can I see a few hands here today? I hope so. I hope there's some of that going on. Because He's not making it a secret to us. He's revealing it to us. Paul knew the Old Testament inside out, see? And then the day that he got saved, it's like the Lord took the blinders right off of his eyes, and all of a sudden he could understand what it all was. So he says, hey, God's revealed it to us. It's not a secret to us. He's revealed it to us by His Holy Spirit. Then he goes on and shows how that it's the Spirit that knows something. Sometimes we have a funeral here at the church. There's a casket right down here, and it's open, and there's a dead body in it. And I deliver a sermon. Does that person hear a word I say? They're all there. Their spirit's not there. It's the Spirit that knows. And he says it's the Spirit of God that knows the things of God, even the deep things of God. Who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So here's a note you could make to yourself. The only way God can communicate spiritual truth is by His Holy Spirit. That is the only way. Computers, in order to talk to one another, they have to understand the same language. I don't understand all that stuff. Bill Malone knows a little more about it than I do. And there's a whole bunch more of you in here that know a little more about that than I do. But I do know this. If two computers, they don't understand the same language, and you go on one program, it says, in order to read this, you've got to have an Adobe Reader, whatever that is. And if you do, you can read it. And if you don't, you can't read it. Am I right? So we got to have it installed. And that's what happens when the Lord fills us with His Holy Spirit. It gets installed, and then all of a sudden, some things begin to make sense to us, and we can begin to understand them. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And here's the why: that we may understand what God has freely given us. There are way too many Christians today who still don't really understand what God has given them. So they've got all this at their disposal. They've got it right there, and yet they're living like they're still in poverty. They're living like the world is still falling apart because they do not understand in the spiritual realm the things that God has given them. So it's all right over there, but they don't know it, and so they're living like they've always lived. Even though they know the Lord Jesus as personal Savior, they're not really experiencing His riches in their lives every day. They're not experiencing the joy, the peace, the victory, or any of the things, or even the prayer power that He's put at their disposal, because they don't have any real understanding of it or any real appreciation of it. You know, they've got cars now with so many gadgets on it, it takes you 6 months just to learn how to work everything. But I tell you what, God has given us more than we can imagine, and He wants us. And some of you have stuff in your car and you've never used it, never turned it on. Am I right? I used to sell them, so I know that stuff. And there's some of you, there's all kinds of things the Lord's got for you, and you've never even messed with it. And you're still living spiritually. You're living at this little elementary level over here, and the Lord has all that for you, but you still don't know it, because it still hasn't been revealed to you by the Spirit of God. God wants to take these little old pea brains of ours, and He wants to open them up. Can I hear an amen? Amen. To His spiritual truth. All right, let's go now to the insert. If you like to do that, now's the time to get it. Here's a few observations on all this. Number one, this is all from this passage. The natural mind is at odds with God's mind. I didn't say the sinful mind. I said the natural mind, the one that doesn't have the Adobe Reader installed yet. It's at odds. And so that's true even in a believer. When I start lapsing into my own natural way of seeing things, then I immediately, almost always, find that, you know, my reactions aren't reactions of faith. My reactions aren't the ones that please God. My reactions are dead ends. My reactions are the ones that get me all down in the dumps and depressed, or get me defensive, or get me whatever it is that I get when I'm that way, because the natural mind is always going to be at odds with God's mind. That is why our thoughts are so frequently at odds with God's thoughts, and our aims and purposes so frequently at odds with His aims and His purposes. So, because if we're operating in a natural mind, we're not going to be looking at things the way the Lord is looking at them. Number two, God shares His mind with us in His Word. God shares His mind with us in His Word. There is no other book in the world, where God has shared His mind with us except in this Bible. Should we be reading our Bible? We may be reading our Bible on a ratio of 1 to 10. One portion God's Word, 10 portions magazines and other junk. Novels and other junk. There's nothing sinful about reading a novel, but if we're reading on a ratio of 1 to 10 and the 1 is God's Word, something's a little out of whack. That's all I'm saying. So maybe, it should be at least 50-50, I would think, or whatever. But if we're not in the Word of God, we're not going to know what God is thinking, because the only place we find out what God is thinking is here. And I challenge you, you can't spend a few minutes in the Word every single day without running across some of God's thoughts. Can I hear an amen? Amen. A lady came to our little group yesterday morning before we went out. She had this little book. She had it underlined. She had some stuff circled in there, and she started sharing with us. Why is that? Because she had been reading it, and it's based on the Word of God. So therefore, she had seen something of the mind of God, and she had something to share with us. And that's the only way that it happens. These people aren't, they're not more super spiritual in the natural or anything than the rest of us. It's just that they've learned a few disciplines. They've learned that every day you got to spend a little time in the manual, Got to go back and check your manual, and so forth. And as you get in there, you find God's thoughts. So God shares His mind with us in His Word. Number three, God prepares our hearts. God prepares our hearts to receive His truth through salvation. Until we're saved, we're never going to really receive God's truth in the bigger picture. God prepares our hearts to receive His truth through salvation. So from salvation forward, now our hearts are ready to receive His truth, and our minds to receive His truth through the ongoing work of the Holy Spirit. How many of you have read where Jesus said to His disciples on that night before He was arrested? He said, I've got so much more to tell you, but you can't receive it right now. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to guide you into what? All what? All truth, meaning God's truth, God's mind. He's going to guide you into all truth. He's going to take what's the Father's, and He's going to take what's mine, and He's going to make it known to you. He's going to be your tutor. He's going to be your come along, your side teacher, and He's going to teach you my thoughts. And He's going to finish filling you in on the stuff that I've had to leave unfinished, and He's going to tell you the rest of the story. So you should be happy that I'm leaving, because if I don't leave, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I leave, then me and my Father will send the Holy Spirit. And when He comes, He's going to guide you into all truth. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
And that's for every believer. Because if you really belong to Jesus, the Holy Spirit's somewhere inside of you. It may be hard to see sometimes. He may be a little hard to see sometimes, but He's in there somewhere. And we need to put Him to work, because that's why the Lord sent Him, is to be our helper, to teach us His mind. He wants us to know His mind. In other words, God equips us to receive His truth through a combination of His Word and the work of the Holy Spirit. Those two are always working in tandem to transform our minds and to change our way of thinking. Those two. Some people say it's just God's Word, just God's Word, just God's Word. And some say, no, it's the Holy Spirit, it's the Holy Spirit. It's both. And these two work in tandem. And these are the two things God uses in your life and mine to teach us His way of thinking. Number four, the Holy Spirit is the great code breaker. The Holy Spirit is the great code breaker. And that is what I was talking about a while ago with the computers and stuff. Sometimes I go into a program now and say, you got to have this other version of Media Player or something in order to play this, you know, whatever. The Holy Spirit is the great code breaker. And He's the one, and He's the one that'll teach us what the Word of God means. Number five, spiritual character is developed from spiritual understanding. See, as God increases our understanding of Himself, then He begins to also in that process to change our character into the character of His Son. Spiritual character is developed from spiritual understanding, and spiritual understanding develops as God reveals His truth to us by His Spirit. And that's how God continues to transform us after we become a believer and to develop our character into the character of His Son. He reveals some new truth to us, and then we assimilate that truth. And then we begin to act on that truth. We begin to incorporate it. We begin to put it into action. And then as we begin to put it into action, it becomes a part of our character. It becomes a part of who we are. And that's how the process works. Number seven, spiritual truth isn't grasped by the natural mind. That's pretty much the same as number one restated. But our natural mind doesn't grasp spiritual truth. It's the spiritual me that's been born again in the Lord Jesus Christ that when I read the Word of God, understands the Word of God. It's not that natural part of me. That natural part of me is as dumb as it ever was. And it's as much at odds against God as it ever was. But that new me in the Lord Jesus Christ is the part that understands. Spiritual truth isn't grasped by the natural mind. I mean, we need to share God's truth with people, folks, but then we need to be praying for them for God to open their minds to it, because their natural mind is never going to get it. Have you ever had that frustration? It's like I tell them, and it's so plain, and they don't see it, and they can't. Only the Holy Spirit can enable them to understand, even their need for salvation, for that matter. Number eight, Isaiah 55, 8, and 9 does not apply to mature Christians who are in tune with God's mind and purposes. That verse we read, your thoughts aren't my thoughts and all that, your ways aren't my ways, that's talking about any of us when we're just walking in the natural. And that's true. You know, we would never conceive of the things that God conceives of. But for a mature believer that's walking in step with the Spirit, we do know His thoughts. And we do live in harmony with those thoughts. Number 10, to the degree that we walk in the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. To the degree that we walk in the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. And He says in this closing verse here where we read, it says, but we have the mind of Christ. We know the thoughts of Christ. Because we're anything? No. But because the Holy Spirit lives within us and He's opened our spiritual minds so that we can understand the truth of God. So to the degree that we walk in the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. Let me go back to this number seven real quick here just for a minute. Spiritual truth isn't grasped by the natural mind. I want to read these last two verses again from the reading this morning. Now the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. Does the natural man receive the things of the Spirit of God? The answer is multiple choice. Sometimes, never, never. For they are foolishness unto him, and he cannot know them. Why? Because they are spiritually what? Judged or discerned is another translation there. They are understood or judged or discerned spiritually. And since he doesn't have the Spirit, he can't know them. Now listen to this verse. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? Oh, did I skip number 6 a while ago? What else did I skip? I haven't done 9. Let's do 6. To understand and receive God's truth, we must have an open mind. That is, an open mind to the things of God. That's kind of like turning it around. The world says, oh, you need to have an open mind toward sin. Yeah, right. No. But we do need to have an open mind to the things of God. Amen? So that's the job of the Holy Spirit, is to open that mind so we can understand it. Okay, here it is. And what I just read is on number 9. Since the world doesn't understand spiritual truth, it doesn't understand spirit-controlled people either. And that's why Paul can say that the spiritual man judges everything, but he himself is judged by no man. What is he saying? Well, let me ask you something. As a believer, now that you know the Lord Jesus Christ, do you now understand some of the things of the Lord? Of course you do, because you know the Lord. Do you also understand where the unbeliever is coming from? Yes, you do, because you used to be there. But he can't understand you because he doesn't have the Spirit of God, and that's why he looks at you and he scratches his head. So that's all that Paul is saying here. I understand the natural and the spiritual, but the natural man doesn't understand the spiritual, therefore he can't figure out God's people either. Because they are spirit controlled. And then, of course, the closer. God's desire is to bring each of us to the point where we think more and more like him. Y'all ever heard of those couples? And they've been together so long, they finish each other's sentences. Huh? Why are you laughing, Teddy? That's where the Lord wants to get you and me. We may not be there yet, but anyway, I just want us to know what God has given us, you know? And the more we dig and the more we have that open mind toward the things of God, the more and more his things are going to make sense to us. And more we're going to know that what Paul said is, hey, the whole wisdom of this world is coming to naught. And we're just going to go back to the message of the cross when we talk with unsaved people and show them some love and pray for them that they'll come to the knowledge of the truth. Because they're never going to understand it with that natural mind until the day the Lord changes their mind and opens it up to his thing. Do you know somebody like that? You need to be praying for them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today. We are made in your image. And when we sinned, we lost the capacity to understand spiritual truth. But now, you've restored that through the Lord Jesus Christ. And you've given us your written word so that we can know what your plan is. Your plan's never been any different. And you saved us and you took us out of the gutter and you turned us around so that your original plan could still be implemented. And we're on that road today. We're not all the way there, but we're on that road today. And we thank you that we understand a lot more now than we did before we were saved. And we understand a lot more now than we did when we were first saved. And Lord, it isn't so we can have head knowledge and so we can lord it over other people. But at the same time, how can we really avail ourselves of everything you have provided us if we don't even understand what it is or how it works? So Lord, I pray for your people today. I pray that you'll take us and give us a spiritual mind, not a mind that can't relate to the world or understand it. I'm sure nobody understood this world better than the Lord Jesus Christ, but he didn't have any sin. But Lord, that we would understand your mind. And when we start thinking about these that don't know you, that we would have your mind concerning them as well. And that we would be much in prayer for them, because we know we came to faith because somebody was praying. We came to faith because somebody cared enough to share the truth. And then you put some light on it by your Holy Spirit, and you brought us to yourself. And that's the way you're going to do it for them too. So help us to pray more, Lord. Help us to pray more that you would just shine your light on your truth in the hearts of people. Because until you reveal it, they're never going to get it. But Lord, we're going to keep praying, and we ourselves want to understand more. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for all you've given us. Just help us to walk in it, Lord. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Now, if you're here today and you don't know Jesus as Savior, then you need step one, and you need salvation. You need reprogramming. You need the download that he's got for you today. So I would ask you to come forward and let's pray together. And any other issue you have today, the Lord has an answer. He really does. Get in his word. Stay in his word. Stay open to the Holy Spirit. He's got an answer for you. And if you have anything you want to share that's on your heart, feel free to share it. I'll be right down here during this closing hymn.